America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Welcome back to the Character Concerns NFL Draft Special. Jay Binkley with Kristen O'Sara. We'll have you covered all weekend long for the NFL Draft right here on 610 Sports Radio. Nick Schwartz with us as well. Cody Tapp, you heard the commercial there. Cody Tapp and Alex Gould. Thursday night, we're spread all around the city at the Boulevard Rec Deck. We'll have Fesco and Kling downtown checking in with us. We've got Dusty Likens, Dirty Werewolf, on the red carpet, which he's very excited about. Sure will be in a tuxedo looking fancy. And then Carrington and Rob doing social media. We'll check in with everybody. Just go around the city and have a lot of fun on draft night. Chris Collinsworth, when I say his mock came out, what are you thinking, Chris? Are you thinking good things? You think, oh, Chris Collinsworth, he knows football, which he does. You pay attention. Your ears perk up, right? Chris Collinsworth making this look like
my ears did not perk up.
Well, they usually would.
I am so
but he
indifferent.
Knows football.
Yeah, but like a lot of people know football that still put out bad mocks.
You know, Mel Kiper, Todd McShay.
Tannenbaum got paid by two NFL teams to be their general manager, and he put out the worst mock draft I've ever seen.
I'm just
seen.
Saying, sometimes mock drafts with certain people, I'm like, okay, what do they have them go?
Yeah, but they don't. It doesn't do it for me. I guess I'm cynical about it. I'm like, okay, what kind of terrible attention-seeking move are we going to see here?
But I will say this, and a lot of times I like mock drafts that are done in cities with the beat writer of that team. For example, the people that have the Chiefs going, Will McDonald, you've seen this one a lot, Chris? The edge from Iowa State.
Yes, I mean every big time mock I've seen from like Kiper and McShay, like not everyone, but
which does not fit usually. Steve Spagnuolo.
Exactly, like Will McDonald does not a fit for them. I would be legitimately shocked if they drafted Will McDonald.
It would be going out of character because
right.
You understand.
Yeah,
and so a lot of times I like when the beat writers do it because they know the inner workings of the team. They're there each and every day at the practices, and they know what the team is looking for. Now, you're not asking them to go say, what do you think the Bengals are going to do if they're a beat writer for the Chiefs? You're not asking what the Seahawks are going to do. And a lot of times, mock drafters are trying to pick for everybody. And that's a difficult thing to do, to know the needs, the wants from different NFL teams. Well, Chris Collinsworth on Pro Football Focus was asked who he goes 31 in his mock draft to the Kansas City Chiefs. This would be a position that you'd probably have behind punter and kicker, to be quite honest with you.
I couldn't leave Hendon Hooker out. I like him too much. And I started thinking about this thing. And I go, you know what? I mean, the only thing that really knocks the Chiefs out of contention is if something happens to Patrick for 4 or 5 games. And they just don't have that. They did fine last year in the playoff game with their backup quarterback coming in there. But if you get Hendon Hooker for the next 5 years by taking him Lamar Jackson, like at right. the end of the first round, so you get him for that extra year, which you're going to need, I think he'll be ready by after the knee injury. He's 25 years old. I get it. ACL, but he does a lot of good things. I mean, so again, I went back through the positive and negative plays, and he only had 6 1.0, minus 1.0 or lower plays. So he doesn't make the big mistakes, and only one of those six was a pass. All of them were sack, fumble, you know, when he got hit and threw an interception on, you know, those kind of plays, but it wasn't him just being stupid with the footballs.
I don't even know what to say. When I heard him say Hendon Hooker to the Kansas City Chiefs at pick 31, you know, I was floored. And I know he likes Hendon Hooker, and he wanted to pick him earlier, but he should have picked him earlier. Having him go to the Kansas City Chiefs makes actually no sense that they would take a first-round pick and throw it at a quarterback. When you're talking wide receiver, offensive line, edge, you're talking all these positions, there's plenty of good players still left on the board at that point. Why would you take a guy like Hendon Hooker? You brought in Blaine Gabbert. I thought the Chiefs, there was a chance they'd throw a dart at a quarterback in the sixth or seventh round. Just, and I wanted Stetson Bennett. I'm going to be honest with you. You know this, Chris, because he has big game experience. He's won 2 national titles, one of 4 quarterbacks ever to win 2 national titles in college football. He's played in the big game. So if you don't bring in this veteran quarterback presence, because Andy Reid covets that, just like Chad Henne, you know, not the best quarterback in his career in the NFL, but
Andy loves failed first round quarterbacks as his backups.
But you know what? He trusts them because yeah, they know the NFL.
Yeah.
So I need 98 yards. You know the playbook. Go do it. That's what Chad Henne did. So like Nick Foles and Chase Daniel, all these quarterbacks that have been in here, and Blaine Gabbert is the guy the Chiefs chose. So him and Bouchel here. Listen, if your quarterback goes down, you're screwed anyway. Do you really want to put a rookie in like Hendon Hooker? Are you really drafting at 31? Is it an embarrassment of riches so much that the Chiefs, with the wide receiver group they have, could afford to go quarterback? That's what just made me laugh about that. I honestly don't think he thought about this before saying it.
No, I don't think he did either. And look, there's a lot of people in our profession that enjoy trying to...
I would rather hear a bad barbecue take from Collinsworth.
Yeah, I'd rather him say, like, you know, one of these other non, like these cliched places are better than places like LC's or Gates or whatever. My thing on this is, I think a lot of times, and we see this on ESPN a lot, where they're like, okay, well, you take the contrarian take and you find a way to argue it. And this is kind of what I feel like happened here with Collinsworth. I think he wanted to put Hooker into the first round. It sounded
He just squeezed it in, man.
But he's like, well, I guess I forgot Hendon Hooker on here. Okay, I guess I'll put him at 31, and then I'll make a really bad argument
we'll make a
as
case,
to why.
Yeah.
It's like, why didn't he make the case that the Bills should draft a backup? I mean, we saw.
Or the Bengals at 28. We literally,
yeah, like
that's dumb.
Like, we literally saw Josh Allen injure his UCL against the Jets this year. We saw, why didn't he say that about the Joe Burrow and the Bengals, his team? David, we've actually seen Joe Burrow have a season-ending injury.
And I didn't hear who he picked. It's probably a tight end. It should have been a tight end or something.
But like, why didn't you draft Hendon Hooker there? I mean, his offensive line still isn't good, even with OBJ. We saw what happened with OBJ this last year. There were times where we were worried about Mahomes' safety because you had Orlando Brown Jr. lined up at left tackle. Why didn't you have Hendon Hooker going there? It's like, I think there's a lot, and you see this with Skip Bayless a lot, too. It's like, let me take the contrarian take, and then I will try to find a way to make the argument make sense. And I hate that about our profession so much, because it's a lot of people not saying how they genuinely feel, not saying anything that is sensical and logical. It's like, okay, let me find an argument. Let me find a take, and then let's see if I can argue it in a way that makes sense. And he did not do that. It did not make any sense. And it just really sounds terrible, and that's the reason why I do not perk up when I hear so-and-so put out a mock, because usually, especially once you get like 15 mocks all, you know, basically every day, it's like every day it's like 5-10 new mocks published, there's always going to be someone out here trying to grab attention with a really nonsensical pick.
Daniel Jeremiah, who usually does a really good mock draft as well, just put his out, Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network. Young, Stroud, Will Anderson, Will Levis, Jalen Carter. So he's got three quarterbacks going in the top four. Witherspoon, Gonzalez, Robinson, Tyree Wilson, and Nolan Smith. Yes, give me running backs in the first round. Get them out of the way and give me five quarterbacks, two running backs. That's seven slots already gone. Give me that. Give me Gonzalez and Witherspoon. That's nine slots already gone when you throw in corners. So you have more options there at 31 for the Chiefs. I've looked at this draft, Chris. It's kind of, is there anybody really to jump up and trade? Do you say, all right, this is a blue chip guy. We got to jump up and trade. And that's one thing. I know we always have a ton of trades in the first round of the NFL, and we'll have trades tomorrow, especially with quarterbacks when it comes to it early on. But I think there's some, you know, trepidation from teams to jump up and grab somebody because you don't want to be wrong. Because there's always going to be the Trubisky out there. There's always going to be the Trubisky that goes ahead of Mahomes. There's always going to be Lamar Jackson going 32 when he's the best. It's always going to be a Brock Purdy going the last, you know, pick in the NFL draft. There's a lot of mistakes that are made in the NFL draft. But get as many out of the way as you can for the Kansas City Chiefs.
So, you know, you asked about, is there anybody the Chiefs might want to trade up to get? We talked about this on Monday when we did that mega episode of the podcast. And I said, I think there's a good chance that there's going to be some players that have been projected to go much higher, like somewhere in the early to mid-teens, that could very well end up falling to the Chiefs at 31, and they've got the availability to pick them. The question is, why? Going to have to ask some questions. And
like,
so
who do you try, you know, you're saying who you get?
It could be a Miles Murphy. It could be one of the tackles, like, you know, in our mock, Broderick Jones was there at 31.
Someone's fallen.
Someone could very well fall. And the biggest question that I would ask if I were the Chiefs, if they're not on their first round board, I don't think they're going to draft them. But you have to ask the question, why are they falling? I always say this. I used to be like, oh, I can't believe so-and-so is falling. And sometimes, you know, it is right. Maybe we did predict them to be really good and they fell for no good reason. And whoever got them got a steal, like George Karloff did, which I think he probably fell just because of the arm length issues and whatnot. And some teams thinking he might not be big enough to play the position. But there are times where I always, you know, think, why is this person falling? And there's got to be something that teams know that we as the public don't. So in that case, I would very much be asking that question, especially when this draft class at the very top is not slam dunk great. There's a lot of question marks. There's a lot of ifs and ands and whatnot because a lot of these guys are holdovers from the COVID year. So you have to wonder why. Like second, third round, I think there's some slam dunk guys in there. There's some really good value. But first round, there's a lot of options the Chiefs could go. And there's a lot of question marks about the guys the Chiefs could draft where they are. And I really think that there's a lot of question marks about guys, except for probably somewhere in that 5 to 10 range. Like once you get out of the top five there, I think that 5 to 10, that actually 5 to 15 range, there are some guys that I think are going to be pretty solid guys. But question marks about everyone else.
And the one thing about the NFL draft is these teams, this year's a little bit less. Because usually it's about 20 guys you get first-round grades to. Now it's anywhere from 12 to 20. There was an NFL GM that came out and said this. Did you ever read that Albert Breerman, the owner quarterback this week, with one GM saying, maybe 15. If there's 15, it's a bad draft.
Yeah, I know. I've seen that. I read it, and you know there was also all these rumors coming out. And it's like, can you really believe all these things that all these teams are putting out here? You know, can you really believe
that? Here's
what
Albert Breer said, Monday Morning Quarterback, says, if you have 15 first-round grades and this class sucks, said one general manager Saturday. I got less than 15 this year. So it's saying, okay, there's not a – and what do the Chiefs have? You know, like last year, you know, maybe they had 20 guys. It was close to that. And then Trent McDuffie starts sliding out of it. So if somebody that used to say Zay Flowers starts a slide, gets in the 20s, maybe Anton Harrison, tackle from Oklahoma slides, then I could see him moving up. If they do move up, I don't see him moving up past 23.
Right.
Could be wrong, but
I think the top end
Buffalo
20.
And Cincinnati and stuff like that, I could see him do it because they've done.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Before Buffalo,
I think the highest they'll go is 20, because the Seahawks very well have, they've got a lot of ammunition. You got the 5th overall pick, so if you wanted to move up ahead of the Ravens, who I think could very well take a receiver, I picked them to take Jahmyr Gibbs on our Megapod, but I think if Quentin Johnston falls, he very well could be in play there. Or Zay Flowers.
Have him with OBJ.
Exactly. There's a lot of options there. They very well could decide to support Lamar Jackson with another receiver. There's options there. And I think the Chiefs might want to get ahead of all the other competitors, because I get the feeling with the way that they've kind of let the Zay Flowers news get out, that if they really want to take Zay Flowers, they have to go up to 20 more than likely, because someone's going to take him for sure to keep him away from the Chiefs.
Coming up next, our favorite five, meaning our favorite five players. Doesn't mean the best five players, which I tweeted this out and someone was like, what about Mazi Smith? I said, no, I'm not saying the best. My favorite five. Chris, we have our favorite five players in the draft. Again, this doesn't mean the best. It means our favorite five players in this draft. And I'd like to hear yours too. 913-586-7610. Is our text line. What are your, who's your, you don't have to put five. What are your favorite players in this year's draft? Again, they don't have to be the best, but your favorite. That's next.
You're listening to a 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special with Nick, Bank, and Chris. Check out the Character Concerns podcast leading up to the NFL Draft at Union Station. Available at 610sports.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jay Binkley with Chris Unocero. A lot of mocks dropping tonight. Last mock drafts of everybody out there. Don't forget, it's Albert Breer that had the number one mock draft last year. Mock draft accuracy. Don't you always appreciate that? Albert Breer was number one.
I mean, we're all guessing, so.
We're all guessing.
Yeah.
Teams don't even get this right. So don't tell me the teams get this right, because they don't.
I mean, teams don't even get their own picks right.
Oh, that's why Lamar Jackson went 32. People wanted that fifth year of control for guys like Lamar Jackson. Makes complete sense. I think it could be where the Kansas City Chiefs sit, picking at 31. Someone's like, yeah.
Well. Collinsworth would just tell the Chiefs to trade for Lamar Jackson just in case Patrick Mahomes gets hurt.
You got to have that backup quarterback.
Got to have a backup quarterback. Trade for Lamar.
But the one thing is if you don't have a quarterback and he gets hurt, you're screwed anyway. So what's the matter?
Yeah. That's the big thing about it. It's like his argument was, well, they're screwed if he gets hurt. Well, they're probably going to be screwed with Hendon Hooker too. I mean, any team that has their starting quarterback who is elite get hurt, that's the end of the season. That's just how it is. And the Chiefs very much trust their ability to go get veterans out there and win games. They've done what they did well with Matt Moore. They've done well in the little time that Henny has played when he was with the team. And I'm sure that they'll be fine for a little bit if Mahomes were to, God forbid, get hurt and Blaine Gabbert would have to step in.
913 is asking, do we have an honorary all-juice team? R.I.P.
Yahoo
continues to put it out. So the all-juice team, is there an AI? I miss Trez Paylor so bad all the time, but around the draft, you kidding me? Of course we do. All right, Chris, your top five draft selections.
Top five favorites.
You're not going Bryce Young here and see each other. No, your top five guys in this draft, regardless of round, because we've all had them. We've all had them that we've mocked. We'll get into our mocks in a little bit later, final Chiefs mock. But there's five guys out there that you say, you know what, I would love this to be a fit for the Chiefs, regardless of round. Again, don't say, well, he's no good. There's better players than that. No, it's not that. It's your favorite players. Text line, J Southland Tow Service. Text line 913-586-7610. All right, Chris, we'll start off with your one.
My number one is Tyreek Wilson. I I've stated this numerous times. Numerous times on our podcast. I'm an upside guy. I like guys with upside. I like guys who I think, if you coach them up, they're going to be the best players at their position. And that's what I see with Tyree. I think he's got the most potential of any edge rusher in this draft class. The size, you know, amazing arm length, almost 36-inch arms, just incredible length, incredible size, so much potential. He just needs to be in the right system, right coach, and they can take advantage of those tools and make him into a great edge rusher. I would love for the Chiefs to be able to get him. If, like, some people think he could slide a little bit. I don't think he's going to slide very much if he does. I think very well likely he goes second overall. But that's the guy, like, of all the prospects in this draft class, he is the one I really, really love.
Mine's Jonathan Mingo, wide receiver, Ole Miss, 6'2", 220. Here's a guy that's big and physical. It's the one thing the Chiefs don't have. It's the one thing they don't have in their drawer. They got plenty of, you know, the 5'9", 5'10s, the speed guys. Speed guy, too. He's 6'2", 220, but he runs a 4.46. He's been one of these guys rising. It's a guy that the Senior Bowl, Jim Nagy was raving about, Jonathan Mingo. NFL Network talking about this guy. There's a wide receiver coach in the NFL say he could be better than some of the first-round receivers. Some say he could be at the end of the first round. Probably not. It's a second-round wide receiver, a la A.J. Brown. He's taller than A.J. Brown. He's faster than A.J. Brown. The Chiefs like A.J. Brown. But a Jonathan Mingo that I think goes early in the second round. He's a top 50 pick. But again, I thought that wide receivers 5-9 could be just as good as 1-4.
Yeah, I think there's a very good chance that we could see the second round receivers end up better than the guys in the first round. I think it's very likely that.
So I like him a lot, and I've seen other people, you know, question when people put it out there, like, why didn't he have as good a college stats? Well, you have to look at the system. You have to look at what he did. Ole Miss ran the ball a ton this year. And I'll remind people this. There's another second-round receiver from Ole Miss. Let me tell you these numbers, Chris. First year at Ole Miss, you name the player. 2 receptions, 13 yards. Second year, 39 for 646. Third year, 26 catches for 569. I mean,
that's A.J. Brown, yeah.
Nope. No, DK Metcalf.
Is that DK?
Yeah. DK Metcalf. Again,
Here's the number one thing I'll say, though. I don't think we should judge them solely based off their school. Because if that's the case, Patrick Mahomes wouldn't have been good because he was a Texas Tech quarterback. So I don't think we should judge him. He's another receiver from this school. You know, I don't think we should do that.
But the one thing about judging where they went to school, and this is Mahomes put up ridiculous numbers at Texas Tech, including tying for the number one yards ever in a football game, because he had the 128th ranked defense, which is only one.
Right. But
readers.
It doesn't. But it doesn't
score
matter.
Every time he's on the field, he put up numbers. DK Metcalf didn't. Again, I will look at the system players are in. I'll say, okay, well, Ole Miss, you know, look at the quarterback situation. Look at the offense.
It's not even the same team from Ole Miss, though. It's not the same guys that AJ Brown played under.
But I look at the system that they're playing
under. But it's not the same system, though.
But you have to look at the system. It's the same way you look at high school football players and say, why is that quarterback going Division I? He hardly put a passing yard. You say, well, they've got a coach that likes to run the football. He doesn't air it out, but he went to enough camps and clinics
But that's not an Ole Miss thing. That's not an Ole Miss thing, though. Like that, the thing is, you bring up the Ole Miss part, and that part doesn't matter because then you're tied. Well, AJ Brown and DK Metcalf, and like that's cool, but it doesn't matter because they had different coaches. You know, the system changes when you get different coaches.
But it doesn't matter who the coaches. You still look at the system and what they
but
did.
The system changes with the coaches, so you have to look at the coaches too. Because if you have a new coach.
He comes off a system of Ole Miss. You know who finished number 3 in the nation in rushing yards as a team this year? Ole Miss. They ran the hell out of the football. So if your receivers didn't put up the yards you thought they would, well, they ran for 3,336 yards.
Yeah, so I'm saying, though,
yards.
It's like it's a different system, though. Like, they threw a lot more with the previous coach. What is it, Hugh Freeze, I think? There was a different coach there with Brown and with DK Metcalf. It's a much different system than it is with Mingo.
Number 2, your second favorite player in this draft.
My number 2 guy is Jalin Hyatt, wide receiver out of Tennessee. I've said this before, I was a huge fan of McColl's talent. I was not a huge fan of everything else about him. Like, didn't seem like he wanted to really go out there and be this great receiver. Seemed like he was happy with kind of coasting off of his talent. Jalin Hyatt to me is a guy that is supremely talented, has great physical prowess. The thing is, he's going to have to work at being a great receiver. And I am always looking at upside, and I think of the receivers in this draft class, he's got the highest upside. He certainly is not the safest guy because you look at his tape, and a lot of his routes were just him beating guys down the field, just killing guys on his routes, beating them down the field. He's wide open, you know, just great at getting separation. Teams basically didn't even try to press him at the line of scrimmage. And I don't think a lot of teams are going to try to press him at the NFL level if he comes out and shows that he can get deep at that level too. But I think there's so much potential in him. I really love what he can do, and that's why he's my second favorite player.
Yeah, I don't blame you. We've mocked him 3 times in our character inserts mock drafts. I like Jalin Hyatt. He played second fiddle to Cedric Tillman. Tillman gets hurt. Jalin Hyatt wins the Biletnikoff this year, is the best wide receiver in the country. But look at what he's done. His 3 years at Tennessee, 20 for 276, then 21 for 226. Wasn't getting the ball much at all his freshman, sophomore year. Last year, 67 for 1267. But the 2 key stats, 15 touchdowns for Jalin Hyatt, but 18.9 yards per reception. This is a take-it-to-the-house guy, a separator, and a yards-after-catch guy. So I like your selection at number 2. My selection at number 2, Chris, is no stranger at this. Again, it's not the best. It's the guy I like the most. It's Tucker Kraft, tight end, South Dakota State. And when you watch this guy, if you watch the FCS playoffs, say, why take him? Well, Dallas Goedert, second-round pick out of South Dakota State as well. He's nearly the same size. We're talking about a guy that's a tremendous guy, yards after catch. And I think he's easily top 4, top 5 tight end in this draft, and I don't care where he went to school.
Yeah, I think we've gotten past the point where school matters quite as much if someone's got the talent and coachability.
Separator. It's what you want. Separator in this offense. What he does. Separator.
Right. I think it used to be like that back in the day, but with so much transferring that happens now, there's a lot of guys who are Power 5 guys that transfer over to smaller schools. And so, like, I don't think it's quite as important as it used to be, where it was like, oh, well, you didn't play against anybody, and you didn't do this, and you didn't do that. But it's like a lot of guys make decisions on where to go to school for different reasons.
And let me put this out there, too. Tucker Kraft had the opportunity to transfer to Alabama. Didn't do it. He stayed right there at South Dakota State, had the opportunity. Alabama says, hey, you want to transfer down here? He's that good. He stayed where he was.
Yeah.
So don't. So all the people out there, don't blame him. He wanted to stay right where he was.
And had he played at Bama, he for sure would probably be a first-round pick.
Yeah, 100%. We're talking first round, early second, but we're talking possible second round with a guy like Tucker Kraft. We'll get to the bottom of our top five. Ty and Sedalia's called in with his list. Again, keep him coming in on the text line, 913-586-7610, the J Southland Tow Service text line. Finish up this list next. And don't forget, Cody Tapp joins us at the top of the hour, plus our mock drafts coming up.
You're listening to a 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special with Nick, Bank, and Chris. Check out the Character Concerns podcast leading up to the NFL Draft at Union Station. Available at 610sports.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Kansas City, this is Scott Barlow, and you're listening to the home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
I'm going to have to log off social media. Welcome back to Character Concerns. Jay Binkley, Chris Nocero. These barbecue pictures, man. It's gone crazy tonight, Chris. You and I were talking about this earlier. All the barbecue pictures from the national media. But guess what they're all doing? They're all out eating right now. And they're all taking pictures.
So much cliche.
But it makes me hungry. I'll be honest with you. They do make me hungry, though. But everybody's trying their best barbecue. They'll have one. They'll say that's the best, which is not fair.
I mean, you could just go get some barbecue after the show.
You know what I've always wanted to be doing? And I've done barbecue. We do a lot for Christmas. We get on Christmas Eve, and you warm it up for Christmas Day. It's just kind of a tradition, Chris. You just warm it up. You know, you get all that stuff.
That's your tradition?
Yeah, you put all that stuff in the fridge from Christmas Eve, and you warm it up the next day.
Yeah, I've never heard of this tradition.
Yeah, it's something I like to do, but you've heard of golf courses. It'll take best holes from different courses, right, and have like an all-star course.
I don't go golfing, so no, I've never heard of this.
Okay, well, they do that. And you could put an all-star barbecue restaurant together if you really wanted to do things right and you had the time to do it.
No, you know how much competition there is in barbecue, KC?
If you have, say your friends or family. Say you have seven people. In life, you only need six people. That's enough to carry your casket. But if you have more than six friends or family members,
just get cremated.
Just go and get your friends and say, all right, here, we're going to sit down and do this draft. I want the best beans in Kansas City. Who wants to go get them? I want the best burnt ends in Kansas City. Who wants to go get them? I want the best ribs in Kansas City. Who's going to go get them? I want the best pulled pork in Kansas City. Who's going to go get it? And then you sit down here, you divide up the seven ingredients. You say, all right, who's going to go get what? And you put this all-star buffet down. You get this all-star barbecue coming when you've agreed on where the best beans are, the best ribs, and the best brisket. That way you're not just eating one place, Chris. You're eating seven or eight of the best. Your favorite. You're taking an all-star barbecue dinner. That's how you do it.
I mean, that sounds like a lot of work, but it sounds like it'd be fun.
But if you spread out and one person's going to each place, you got your...
I know. My girlfriend has suggested that, our friends, we do a chicken sandwich party where we go get chicken sandwiches from various establishments, and then we, cut them up, and we all try them out and whatnot. It sounds very... We haven't done it yet, but we've talked about it for a few years now.
Especially, so you're talking, Popeyes and stuff
that? Yeah, after the chicken sandwich craze from a few years ago. Oh, now, everyone's got one.
Everybody's got it. It'd be hard-pressed not to go with that one at Popeyes. That was good.
Yeah, the Popeyes one's the best. It's the strongest contender.
100%. Before we get to the rest of our top five, what is your top five? Let's go to Ty in Sedalia. What's up, Ty? Ty, you there? Hey, Ty.
I have actually more than a top five. I was sitting here, and I came up with actually two more players. So I have a top seven list of...
Well, you got to make this quick if it's going to be seven, quick, man.
It's going to be quick. At number seven, Dalton Kincaid, tight end, Utah. Yep. I feel like he could be the next Travis Kelce. Six, Tucker Kraft, tight end, South Dakota State. I agree with what you're saying about Tucker Kraft. He's going to be a very good tight end. And if he would have went to Alabama, he would have gone first round. Five, very underrated, Nathaniel Dell, wide receiver, Houston.
Well, take Dell.
Four, Jackson Smith, the Jigba, Ohio State. Number three, A.T. Perry, wide receiver, Wake Forest. I would love to see the Chiefs take him. I'm a Clemson Tigers fan, and he torched us a lot. So that's one reason why he's on this list. At number two, a local guy, Deuce Vaughn, running back out of Kansas State. And number one, a guy who I think could go in one of the later rounds, Ronnie Hickman, Ohio State, the safety.
See, that's the way you do it. You have the mix of good. You have guys that, you know, kind of off the beaten path. And then, of course, you have your favorites. But, you know, Jackson Smith was in there. Of course, he's going to be.
Just say his whole name, Bink.
Jackson Smith Enigma.
You missed it.
Enigma.
See, I know you've been trying to avoid the last part of his name because you know you mess it up.
It's time of year, man. You get tongue twisted, man.
It's not tongue twisted. You just can't say his name right.
Jigba. I know what his name is. I just call him Jackson Smith.
Yeah, I know you do because you don't want to mess it up.
Always have.
Yeah.
Always have. But it's a good list.
It's a good list.
It's your favorites. If your guy happens to be great and he's what you consider one of your favorites, it's fine. I can deal with that.
Yeah, I mean, you like who you like. I'm not going to blame anybody for liking certain people. I'd tell you this. One guy that didn't make the list that
because we're on the number three. So.
Yeah. One guy that didn't make my list, Javon Dexter Sr. out of Florida, defensive tackle. Love that kid. I love that kid. I would love for him to be on the team. There's some work they got to do with them, but I would love for if they were to get like move up a little bit in the second round and go grab him. Like, let's say, or if they move down and they're able to accumulate some picks, yeah, I'd love for them to use one of those picks on him.
All right, we're doing top five, our favorites, not necessarily
right,
the best,
number three,
but the favorites. So don't say, he sucks. No, he doesn't. None of these suck. They're just our favorite players.
Yeah. My number three is Zach Kuntz, tight end out of Old Dominion. He's the most athletic tight end in this draft class.
Killed
by far.
The combine.
By far. Killed it. You know, perfect score. 4.55 40 time, faster than Kelsey.
At 6'7".
He's 6'7". Great. I mean, incredible arm length. He's a good route runner. He's not great, but he's got promise as a route runner. He can make those circus catches. And with that kind of speed, I mean, he's as fast as a lot of receivers in this draft class. Like 4.55 40 time, I think that's a little bit faster than your boy Ronnie Bell. I think Ronnie Bell is 4.57. So you're talking about a guy who has good speed, good athleticism. You just need him to get some seasoning, get some coaching in him. Work with the best tight end in the history of the NFL and Travis Kelce above him. And he takes some time and learns from Kelce because Kelce came out this week and basically said, I'm not going away anytime soon. I feel great. I'm happy about winning. And all of a sudden now, you've got a position where you don't feel pressed to have Kuntz have to sit around and rush him to the field. You can take your time for your rookie contract and develop this kid. And if he turns into your next great tight end, you got to steal wherever you took him at, because it's probably going to be like third to fifth, rounds three through five is about his
value. I've seen a lot more round threes.
Yeah.
I mean, he's climbing again. Who cares what it is? It's like Tariq Willen last year. Tremendous size, speed, everything. People didn't want him. He goes in the fifth round. He's third in rookie of the year.
Yeah. So I
dude, he's in the eye of the hole.
I really like this kid. I think you go with the upside there. I don't think Kincaid's going to be there at 31. I think the Chiefs would have to trade up probably to 18 to get him. And I don't think that's very feasible. And I don't think it's the best move to make because there's a lot of really good tight ends in this draft class as far as talent goes. And so that's why I would go. That's why I really, really love Zach Kuntz here.
And it's 100% if you don't grab one in the first or second round, you say, well, we're kind of in the third round.
Yeah.
We'll do it. Spoiler here, I'm 100% with you on Zach Kuntz. He's my fourth. I know we're sitting on three here, but I might as well mention it. He was my fourth favorite guy. So you and I are 100% lockstep on that. My number three, Nick Saldiveri, the tackle from Old Dominion.
Oh, again, like it's them, funny. Like ODU guys.
We just went back-to-back Old Dominion, finished 39, but this is the year of Old Dominion. Here's a guy, and more people are starting to take this guy, not lightly. They love him. The powers that be love this guy for his athleticism, what he can do on the offensive line. But it's a guy that's got the reach to play tackle, probably be moved to the inside, play inside, stay, do anything you want on the offensive line, but it's a perfect Andy Reid guy. So you know what? We need to kind of help a tackle. Okay. Need help a guard. You go there. Not only that, for being at Old Dominion, 15 top 30 visits for Nick. But anyway, that's where I'm sitting in number three.
A lot of people like that kid. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that think he can be a third round pick. So it's pretty crazy. Might be the greatest draft in Old Dominion history, being able to get two guys taken on the second day, possibly.
It would be the best day in Old Dominion history.
Yeah, it would absolutely be their best day as far as drafting.
For 3-19.
Yeah, and it's a great recruiting point there, too. Like, hey, I got a couple guys drafted on the second day.
They must all suck, man, if they have this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not been great at ODU for a while now, but this could be a didn't they just move up to Division I not too long ago? Yeah. So this could be a start of some great things happening at ODU here with this draft class.
All right, number four, I told you mine. It was Zach Koontz. We've already gone over that. That was your number three, who's sitting at number four.
My number four is Viliami Fajoko Jr.
I knew that. I knew
San Jose
State. I didn't see it. I haven't seen your list, but I knew this was going to happen.
I love that kid. Just you talk about guys who are like football players, and I know you like those guys who are like tough, who high motors, put in all the effort.
This is what the Chiefs have become. They've changed their attitude. They flipped their attitude, and he's an attitude guy.
He is the attitude guy. He's gonna I think if they were to draft him, I think fans would love him in camp because he's going to put in max effort every time. Sometimes he could be a little undisciplined. He had an issue with offsides when he was at San Jose State, and he's not the most athletic guy in comparison to like some of these other behemoths that are available in the draft class. And he definitely is not the guy you want to take as your top edge rusher in this class. Probably four through six is about the range that he'll go in, but high motor. He's big, 6'3", 276. He's got pass rush moves already. You could play him on inside. You could play him on the outside. You can move him around in so many different areas that Spags really likes versatility on his D-line, and I think he is the guy to take as a supplementary rusher on the third day.
And we do our mock drafts. Could it be a name that shows up in our Kansas City Chiefs mock draft?
Oh, I'm going to tell you this right now.
Chris and I happen to like a lot of the same players.
If they take Fajoko on the third day, you already know.
He was the Mountain West Defensive Player of the Year this year. Second team All-American on Pro Football Focus. On Pro Football Focus Sporting News. This guy had 19 tackles for loss, which led the Mountain West this year.
Yeah, he hit people. He made a lot. He caused a lot of problems for tackles.
17th in the country in sacks.
Yeah, he. This guy hits people, and he's great in the run game. He's great as a pass rusher. Again, not athletic enough to be an every down edge rusher, but he is talented enough and has the work ethic to be a guy that could play all around the line. And he can give you some good snaps here and there.
So there you go. Chris is number four, Viliami Fajoko out of San Jose State. And you're thinking fourth or fifth. That's kind of, yeah. I think it could
back
be fourth
in,
round.
Back in sixth round, like at the worst,
ooh,
probably early sixth
that.
Round. Probably early sixth round at the worst. But I think probably fourth, fifth round is most likely where he goes.
And I feel it'll be a steal.
Yeah.
He will be on an NFL roster, and he will be participating this season when you think about it. But yeah. Fourth, probably pipe dream. Fifth, kind of right near in the middle of the six. I think fifth would kind of be the spot for him. Our fifth best fits coming up next.
You're listening to a 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special with Nick, Bank, and Chris. Check out the Character Concerns podcast leading up to the NFL Draft at Union Station. Available at 610sports.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Character Concerns special NFL draft talk. Jay Binkley, Chris Sinosir. I'll be with you each and every night. Nick Schwartz with us in tomorrow for the NFL draft. Text line from the 816. Bro, I'm so excited for this draft. It doesn't really matter who we pick. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, it does matter who they pick.
And keep this in mind.
They take Hendon Hooker at 31. We can be pissed.
Keep this in mind when you have your hot take about Brett Veach, the water cooler. 21 of the last 22 draft picks. National media, if you happen to be driving around, listen to this. It's good fodder for your broadcast. But 21 of the last 22 picks are still on the roster and/or practice squad. Only Bo Peep. Find me another NFL team that has 21 of its last 22 draft picks still on the roster, which means is you paid Mahomes and then you're doing your dirty work in the draft. Like a Jalen Watson, two picks in the postseason, seventh round. Isaiah Pacheco, seventh round, the running back. This is how you win. But 21 of the last 22 picks still on this roster. The only NFL team that can say this. And keep this in mind, too. Extra credit because the pandemic was mixed in with that draft a couple years ago that nobody got right. The Chiefs did. And you know what? So, oh, well, you know, draft picks make a lot of teams. Well, a lot of teams don't go to 3 out of 4 Super Bowls. The other teams don't win 2 Super Bowls. Chiefs are Super Bowl champions and did this. So, yes, Brett Veach deserves to be credited. He is the best general manager in football. And putting anybody else ahead of him is false. You know, I've seen other GMs, Howie Roseman, these type of guys in front of Brett Veach. No, they're not. If a banner flies in front of your office, then you can talk. Chiefs paid Mahomes. They wanted to pay Mahomes again. Pay Joe Burrow. See what happens. Pay Justin Herbert. See what happens. Eagles will pay Jalen Hurts. Let's see what happens. All right, Chris, number 5 of your favorite players.
I know this has been controversial for people here at 610, but my number 5 guy I know that you would be ecstatic if they drafted. I would love if they drafted this guy.
And I do like your list so far.
Hunter Luecke, fullback, North Dakota State. Dude, you just he made the microphone rumble.
No, you just hit the that's my guy. That's my number 5, Hunter Luecke, North Dakota State fullback. So we might as well both bloviate about
we're
Hunter.
We're both at number 5. I love Luecke. I think,
which is hilarious. You and I have some of the same guys.
I know. List. Yeah. This so the big thing for me is that and we have said this so much, and I know that we've gotten some pushback here at 610. That the Chiefs, oh, well, they don't need to draft a fullback. Yeah. Oh, because no, but who uses a fullback anymore? Well, the Chiefs have always had a fullback on their roster. It is a position that they like to have on their roster.
And they play special teams on this roster, and they're there if they need them.
Special teams. But the big thing, and the reason why I think you go with this kid, because I know, like, on our Megapod on Monday, well, Tuesday when it came out, our guy Nick, the strongest contender.
100%. Before we get to the rest of our top 5, what is your top 5? Let's go to Ty in Sedalia. What's up, Ty? Ty,
well,
you there? Hey, Ty.
I have actually more than a top 5. I was sitting here, and I came up with actually 2 more players. So I have like a top 7 list of...
Well, you got to make this quick if it's going to be 7,
quick,
man.
Ty.
It's going to be quick. It's going to be quick. At number 7, Dalton Kincaid, tight end, Utah. Yep. I feel like he could be the next Travis Kelce. 6. Tucker Kraft, tight end, South Dakota State. I agree with what you're saying about Tucker Kraft. He's going to be a very good tight end, and if he would have went to Alabama, he would have gone first round. 5, very underrated, Nathaniel Dell, wide receiver, Houston.
Well, take Dell.
4, Jackson Smith, the Jigba, Ohio State. Number 3, A.T. Perry, wide receiver, Wake Forest. I would love to see the Chiefs take him. I'm a Clemson Tigers fan, and he torched us a lot. So that's one reason why he's on this list. At number 2, a local guy, Deuce Vaughn, running back out of Kansas State. And number 1, a guy who I think could go in one of the later rounds, Ronnie Hickman, Ohio State, the safety.
See, that's the way you do it. You have the mix of good. You have guys that, you know, kind of off the beaten path. And then, of course, you have your favorites. But, you know, Jackson Smith was in there. Of course, he's going to be.
Say his whole name, Bink.
Jackson Smith Enigma.
You missed it.
Enigma.
See, I know you've been trying to avoid the last part of his name because you know you mess it up.
It's time of year, man. You get tongue twisted, man.
It's not tongue twisted. You just can't say his name right.
Enigma. I know what his name is. I just call him Jackson Smith.
Yeah, I know you do because you don't want to mess it up.
Always have.
Yeah.
Always have. But it's a good list.
It's
I mean,
good list. It's a good
again,
list.
It's your favorites. If your guy happens to be great and he's what you consider one of your favorites, it's fine. I can deal with that.
Yeah. I mean, you like who you like. I'm not going to blame anybody for liking certain people. I'd tell you this. One guy that didn't make the list that
because we're on the number 3. So.
Yeah. One guy that didn't make my list, Javon Dexter Sr. out of Florida, defensive tackle. Love that kid. I love that kid. I would love for him to be on the team. There's some work they got to do with them, but I would love for if they were to get like move up a little bit in the second round and go grab him, like let's say, or if they move down and they're able to accumulate some picks. Yeah, I'd love for them to use one of those picks on him.
All right, we're doing top 5 our favorites, not necessarily
right,
the
so my number
best,
3,
but the favorites. So don't say, well, he sucks. No, he doesn't. None of these suck. They're just our favorite players.
Yeah. My number 3 is Zach Kuntz, tight end out of Old Dominion. just he's the most athletic tight end in this draft class.
Killed
by far.
The combine.
By far. Killed it, you know, perfect score. 4.55 40 time, faster than Kelsey.
At 6'7".
He's 6'7". Great. I mean, incredible arm length. He's a good route runner. He's not great, but he's got promise as a route runner. He can make those circus catches. And with that kind of speed, I mean, he's as fast as a lot of receivers in this draft class. Like 4.55 40 time, I think that's a little bit faster than your boy Ronnie Bell. I think Ronnie Bell's 4.57. So you're talking about a guy who has good speed, good athleticism. You just need him to get some seasoning, get some coaching in him. Work with the best tight end in the history of the NFL and Travis Kelce above him. And he takes some time and learns from Kelce because Kelce came out this week and basically said, I'm not going away anytime soon. I feel great. I'm happy about winning. And all of a sudden now, you've got a position where you don't feel pressed to have Kuntz have to sit around and rush him to the field. You can take your time for your rookie contract and develop this kid. And if he turns into your next great tight end, you got to steal wherever you took him at, because it's probably going to be like three through five is about his
value.
I've
seen a lot more round threes.
Yeah.
I mean, he's climbing again. Who cares where it is? It's like Tariq Woolen last year. Tremendous size, speed, everything. People didn't want him. He goes in the fifth round. He's third in rookie of the year.
Yeah, so I
beauty's in the eye of the whole.
I really like this kid. I think you go with the upside there. I don't think Kincaid's going to be there at 31. I think the Chiefs would have to trade up probably to 18 to get him, and I don't think that's very feasible, and I don't think it's the best move to make because there's a lot of really good tight ends in this draft class as far as talent goes, and so that's why I would go. That's why I really, really love Zach Kuntz here.
And it's 100% if you don't grab one in the first or second round, you say, well, we're kind of in the third round.
Yeah.
We'll do it. Spoiler here, I'm 100% with you on Zach Kuntz. He's my fourth. I know we're sitting on three here, but I might as well mention it. He was my fourth favorite guy, so you and I are 100% lockstep on that. My number three, Nick Saldiveri, the tackle from Old Dominion.
Oh, again, like it's them, funny.
We just went back-to-back Old Dominion, finished 3rd and 9, but this is the year of Old Dominion. Here's a guy, and more people are starting to take this guy, not lightly. They love him. The powers that be love this guy for his athleticism, what he can do on the offensive line. But it's a guy that's got the reach to play tackle, probably be moved to the inside, play inside, stay, do anything you want on the offensive line, but it's a perfect Andy Reid guy. So you know what? We need to kind of help attack. Okay. Need help at guard. You go there. Not only that, for being at Old Dominion, 15 top 30 visits for Nick. Anyway, that's where I'm sitting in number three.
A lot of people like that kid. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that think he can be a third round pick. So it's pretty crazy. Might be the greatest draft in Old Dominion history. Being able to get two guys taken on the second day, possibly.
It would be the best day in Old Dominion history.
Yeah, it would absolutely be their best day as far as drafting.
For 3-19.
Yeah, and it's a great recruiting point there, too. Like, hey, I got a couple guys drafted on the second day.
They must all suck, man, if they have this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not been great at ODU for a while now, but this could be a didn't they just move up to Division I not too long ago?
Yeah.
So this could be a start of some great things happening at ODU here with this draft class.
All right, number four, I told you mine. It was Zach Kuntz. We've already gone over that. That was your number three, who's sitting at number
My number four is Viliami Fajoko Jr.
I knew that. I knew
San Jose
I didn't
State.
See it. I haven't seen your list, but I knew this was going to happen.
I love that kid. You talk about guys who are like football players, and I know you like those guys who are like tough, who high motors, put in all the effort.
This is what the Chiefs have become. They've changed their attitude. They flipped their attitude, and he's an attitude guy.
He is the attitude guy. He's gonna I think if they were to draft him, I think fans would love him in camp because he's going to put in max effort every time. Sometimes he could be a little undisciplined. He had an issue with offsides when he was at San Jose State, and he's not the most athletic guy in comparison to like some of these other behemoths that are available in the draft class. And he definitely is not the guy you want to take as your top edge rusher in this class. Probably four through six is about the range that he'll go in, but high motor. He's big, 6'3", 276. He's got pass rush moves already. You could play him on inside. You could play him on the outside. You can move him around to so many different areas that Spags really likes versatility on his D line, and I think he is the guy to take as a supplementary rusher on the third day.
And we do our mock drafts. Could it be a name that shows up in our Kansas City Chiefs mock draft?
Oh, I'm going to tell you this right now.
Chris and I happen to like a lot of the same players.
If they take Fajoco on the third day, you already know.
He was the Mountain West Defensive Player of the Year this year. Second team All-American on Pro Football Focus. On Pro Football Focus Sporting News. This guy had 19 tackles for loss, which led the Mountain West this year.
Yeah, he hit people. He caused a lot of problems for tackles.
17th in the country in sacks.
Yeah, he. This guy hits people, and he's great in the run game. He's great as a pass rusher. Again, not athletic enough to be an every down edge rusher, but he is talented enough and has the work ethic to be a guy that could play all around the line. And he can give you some good snaps here and there.
So there you go. Chris is number four, Viliamo Fajoco out of San Jose State. And you're thinking fourth or fifth. That's kind of, yeah. I think it could
back
be fourth
in,
round.
Back in sixth round, like at the worst,
ooh,
probably early sixth
that.
Round. Probably early sixth round at the worst. But I think probably fourth, fifth round is most likely where he goes.
And I feel it'll be a steal.
Yeah.
He will be on an NFL roster, and he will be participating this season when you think about it. But yeah. Fourth, probably pipe dream. Fifth, kind of right near in the middle of the sixth. I think fifth would kind of be the spot for him. Our fifth best fits coming up next.
You're listening to a 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special with Nick, Bank, and Chris. Check out the Character Concerns podcast leading up to the NFL Draft at Union Station. Available at 610sports.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Character Concerns special NFL draft talk. Jay Binkley, Chris Sinosir. I'll be with you each and every night. Nick Schwartz with us in tomorrow for the NFL draft. Text line from the 816. Bro, I'm so excited for this draft. It doesn't really matter who we pick. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, it does matter who they pick.
And keep this in mind.
They take Hendon Hooker at 31. We can be pissed.
Keep this in mind when you have your hot take about Brett Veach, the water cooler. 21 of the last 22 draft picks. National media, if you happen to be driving around, listen to this. This is good fodder for your broadcast. But 21 of the last 22 picks are still on the roster and or practice squad. Only Bo Peep. Find me another NFL team that has 21 of its last 22 draft picks still on the roster, which means is you paid Mahomes and then you're doing your dirty work in the draft. Like a Jalen Watson, two picks in the postseason, seventh round. Isaiah Pacheco, seventh round, the running back. This is how you win. But 21 of the last 22 picks still on this roster. The only NFL team that can say this. And keep this in mind, too. Extra credit because the pandemic was mixed in with that draft a couple years ago that nobody got right. The Chiefs did. And you know what? So, draft picks make a lot of teams. Well, a lot of teams don't go to three out of four Super Bowls. The other teams don't win two Super Bowls. Chiefs are Super Bowl champions and did this. So, yes, Brett Veach deserves to be credited. He is the best general manager in football. And putting anybody else ahead of him is false. You know, I've seen other GMs, Howie Roseman, these type of guys in front of Brett Veach. No, they're not. If a banner flies in front of your office, then you can talk. Chiefs paid Mahomes. They wanted to pay Mahomes again. Pay Joe Burrow. See what happens. Pay Justin Herbert. See what happens. Eagles will pay Jalen Hurts. Let's see what happens. All right, Chris, number five of your favorite players.
I know this has been controversial for people here at 610, but my number five guy I know that you would be ecstatic if they drafted. I would love if they drafted this guy.
And I do like your list so far.
Hunter Luepke, fullback, North Dakota State. Dude, you just he made the microphone rumble.
No, you just hit the. That's my guy. That's my number five, Hunter Luepke, North Dakota State fullback. So we might as well both bloviate about
Hunter. We're both at number five. I love Luepke. I think,
which is hilarious. You and I have some of the same guys.
I know. List. Yeah. This. So the big thing for me is that, and we have tried. We have said this so much, and I know that we've gotten some pushback here at 610. That the Chiefs, they don't need to draft a fullback. Yeah. Oh, because but who uses a fullback anymore? Well, the Chiefs have always had a fullback on their roster. It is a position that they like to have on their roster.
And they play special teams on this roster, and they're there if they need them.
Special teams. But the big thing, and the reason why I think you go with this kid, because I know, like, on our Megapod on Tuesday when it came out, our guy Nick had Braden Wilson, the tight end out of Oklahoma, and he picked him as a fullback, H-back, extra tight end. Kind of Swiss Army, but he was more so as a blocker, not as a pass catcher. My thing is this. You want a fullback, because if you look at like Michael Burton wasn't asked to block a whole bunch. He was a lot of times brought in as a runner, third and one, fourth and one. Okay, let's hand it off to Burton. He's so big, he's going to be hard to tackle. He can get that 1 yard. The thing, though, is that that's all he could do was get 1 yard carries, and that's it. He wasn't an amazing blocker or anything, and he couldn't catch passes. He wasn't a guy you were going to target in the passing game. With Lupke, you get a guy who can block. You get a guy who can run. This is a guy who had 600 rushing yards last year at North Dakota State. And you can get a guy that can catch passes. This is a guy who lined up in the slot. This is a guy who lined up in an H-back position. He caught passes in the fullback spot. He caught passes everywhere. I think you like having that versatility on your offense, even if it's just a few times a year. They value the position. They always have a fullback on their roster. Go get the guy that I think is best as far as the talent goes to be able to do all the things that you would like your fullback to be able to do in a creative offense like the Chiefs offense.
Hunter Luepke was the national title MVP, not this year, but the year before. Keep in mind, this is a 6'1", 230-pound fullback. These are his rushing numbers the last 3 years. 458 yards. Just six games played back in 2020. Six games, nearly 500 yards. Remember, six touchdowns, this guy's a fullback. The year after that, 543 yards. The year after that, 621 this last year. 6.3 per carry. He's also tremendous at catching the football. He catches them outside the backfield, catches them downfield. He's more than just a fullback. If you want to call him an H-back, if you want to call him a tight end, he runs wildcat formations there. What's one of the Chiefs, what's one of their struggles? Third and one, fourth and one, picking up that 1 yard. This guy brings so much playmaking ability that Dave Tobe or Andy Reid would have a ton of fun creating plays for him. And he's a four-phaser. Play all over special teams, which is a role that you need. They currently do not have a fullback on the roster. He can be your fullback. He can step in and play tight end, H-back, wildcat formation. He can do a lot of things. This guy, by the way, back in October, Mel Kiper said this guy's going to make a good pro on Twitter. Way back in October.
I mean, Kiper did also say that he would retire if Jimmy Clausen wasn't a good quarterback.
I get the Jimmy Clausen smack, but you know we got to move past that.
I'm just saying.
But he recognizes Hunter Luepke back in
right,
October.
He did, but he don't bat 1,000. So.
But anyway, the powers that be Raven about Hunter Luepke. Again, I go to the FCS level. Two guys from FCS make my top five, but Chris and I in lockstep in a lot of these picks, because he goes Jalin Hyatt. I didn't go Jalin Hyatt, but I absolutely love Jalin Hyatt, the wide receiver out of Tennessee. Coming up next, we're going to be spread at 610 Sports Radio. We're going to be spread all across the city tomorrow night. Coming up next, Cody Tapp from Cody and Gold talking about where they're going to be, which direction he'd lean in the draft next.
You're listening to a 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special with Nick, Bank, and Chris. Check out the Character Concerns podcast leading up to the NFL Draft at Union Station. Available at 610sports.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.